message by Pastor Byron Brown was recorded at First Baptist Church in Lacombe, Louisiana. First Baptist exists to glorify God by declaring the life-changing message of Jesus and by discipling all people so that everyone can delight in God's supremacy over all things. It is our desire to adequately proclaim God's word so that believers will grow in Christ and unbelievers will be convicted for their need for Christ. Pray that you will be challenged and encouraged as you listen to this message from God's Word.
Amen. Let me encourage you to take one of your pieces of armor, your Word of the Lord. Let's take that and turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 6 now. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. What a great song that we are singing through this series that we claim the armor that Christ has given us as believers in Him. And we're thankful, and I pray that you do have your word with you, which is part of your armor that we claim, and we sing and claim the truth as we hear his word. Ephesians chapter 6, and let me just bring to your mind that our text that we're going to be memorizing through this month has will be Ephesians 6, verse 10 and 11. As we've been giving you a scripture each month, Ephesians 6, 10 and 11 is going to be the one that we're going to take as our memory as a church, and so let me encourage you to take that text to heart. We'll be saying that over the next several weeks, memorizing that together. As we look at today's truth, we're looking at the next piece of armor in this series, and we're looking at the breastplate of righteousness. And for consistency's sake, what we're going to do through this series, we're going to ask the same questions about every piece so you know what to expect each week when you come and know how to be able to take notes when you come. Three questions that we're going to ask today is, when do we receive that armor? What is the armor? And then how do we use that piece of the armor? And last week, we looked at the belt of truth, and we learned that the belt of truth is biblical content given to us by the Spirit of God in contrast to false teaching. And we learn how we use that armor, that it's more of a piece of armor that is the Word of God that is reactive in a fashion. When Satan throws things at us, we claim the truths that God has given to us and speak back to him those biblical truths. And we claim that. That's the belt of truth. Remember, the armor literally, from the analogy fashion, is what holds the armor together. The soldier actually hangs other pieces of his armor on that. From a spiritual standpoint, the truth is foundational. You're going to see that even today, that without the truth, righteousness means nothing to you. Without truth, you don't know what to put faith in. Without truth, the biblical truth, you don't know how to use your sword. It's extremely important that you understand that that is foundational for everything. So let me just say this to you, that if you didn't get it all last week, you didn't retain it all last week, or you weren't here last week, let me encourage you to request a CD from last week, because it really is the foundation piece to the armor of God. Now this week, we learn what it means to put on the breastplate of righteousness. And I pray that today will be a strong encouragement to you, that we really understand what this means for you as you learn to put on the armor of God. So let's look at the text today, Ephesians 6. Let's begin at verse 10. You have a copy of God's Word open. I pray that you do. And let's stand this morning in reverence to the reading of God's Word. For our context, let's be able to read this entire paragraph so we can understand the armor that Paul has challenged us to put on. Beginning at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. May God bless the reading of His Word this morning. You can be seated. As we learn today what it really means, let me just remind you that Paul is not talking about a literal armor here. I don't want you to get confused about that. So when you get saved, we don't have a room down the hallway that's classified the armor room, so that when you get saved, we take you back there and we fit you up and we give you the gospel shoes and we give you the breastplate and we give you the sword. Sometimes we'd like to have a literal armor when it comes to spiritual battles, but I want you to realize that we're talking in an analogy fashion here, symbolism, that we're talking about the armor that's given to us. But I want you to understand how you have that armor. As a believer, in Christ? And that's the first question that I want us to be able to ask is, when do we put the breastplate of righteousness on? When do we put it on? We're talking about battles. Anybody been battled this week? Satan throwing darts at you? This is yes. This is yes. Okay. There's the reality that the darts are flying. They're out there. If we understand the reality, they may not be huge darts. It may be subtle darts. But I tell you, as we learned last week, our enemy is real. And he's out to get us. He's out to attack us as believers. That doesn't mean that we have to be fearful. It means that we need to be aware of how to fight that battle. But we look at the text today and we ask the question, look back at verse 14 and notice the command that's given to us. Look at the actual verb that's used there in verse 14. Stand, therefore. That's what he's asked us to do. Stand is our verb that he's given to us. But I want you to notice something in the first three pieces of armor that's given to us. Let's look at a grammatical issue here. Look at the participle, the word, a fancy term to actually look at a word that ends with ing. Let me put it more simplified. Look at the word there in verse 14. Stand, therefore. What's the word next? Having fastened on the belt of truth. And notice the next one. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness in verse 15. And as shoes for feet, having put on, etc., etc. Notice the word that's used there. And that's a participle. I'm going to give you an English lesson this morning. You understand the importance of the armor. Stand is the verb action that he's asked us to do. He's telling us that we're going to be in battle. So he tells us we need to stand. Listen, it's not a suggestion by Paul. He's speaking to believers, and he says to every one of us in this room as believers, regardless if you're 10, regardless if you're 16, regardless if you're 96, as a believer in Christ, Paul says to you, you're in the battle. There's no retirement in spiritual warfare. You understand that? The retirement is when our heart stops beating and we stand before the Lord Jesus and we've been glorified and made perfectly whole. That's when retirement stops. So up until that point, all of us are to stand. And he tells us what we're to do when we stand. And he says, having put these things on. That word, in relationship to the main verb of stand, implies that the action is done prior to when you stand. Follow that? Meaning that when you get ready to stand for battle, it means that you're supposed to have already put on the belt of truth. You are already supposed to put on the breastplate of righteousness. So that's what we're asking about. When we go into spiritual battles, we need to all realize that if we are not preparing ourselves and understand the reality of these things, because the truth is this, church, as a believer in Christ, you have been given these spiritual warfare pieces. You have them. So it's more of a mentality of understanding when you go into battle to have them ready. Understand this is a mentality that you need to have. So we put on the belt of truth prior to battle, and we place ourselves understanding the breastplate of righteousness. So that's what I want to do for you today. I want you to understand what it is so that when you're ready for battle, you are mentally prepared, spiritually understand what it means to have the breastplate of righteousness on. So very simple. The first question is, when do we put it on? It's prior to the battle. Not when things get tough. Not when things get hard. Not when the disasters are coming and the darts are flying. It is right now. When things are okay and maybe you're fine, putting on the breastplate of righteousness. So we understand when we're to do it. Now let's dive into the second question, which is going to take the most of our time this morning. What is the breastplate of righteousness? Now most of you could probably give me some explanation and definition of righteousness. But more specifically, in this particular passage of Scripture, what is it that Paul means in this passage of Scripture? And I pray that you have your pen ready and your sermon notes ready, that you can be able to follow along with me, that we can understand the truths that are here. What is the breastplate of righteousness? Now I want to give you the answer up front, and then I want to explain to you how we get that answer. What it means to have the breastplate of righteousness is this. The breastplate of righteousness is your right relationship with God and your righteous living before God. You understand that? Two aspects we're talking about. Look at it again. Your breastplate of righteousness is your right relationship with God and your righteous living before God. There's two other ways that I want to be able to put it to you like this. What we're talking about here is positional righteousness and practical righteousness. Let me break it down for you this way. Your positional righteousness means this. We are declared righteous before God by His grace through faith in Jesus. I'm going to break this down to help you understand. What we're talking about here is that when you place faith in Jesus, at that moment you are declared righteous Back to our answer, that means that's your right relationship with God. It's not anything that you can do except place faith in Christ, and then God at that moment legally declares you, even though you are sinful, God says you have a right relationship with me. You're standing in a courtroom, you're guilty, you should be condemned, but God looks at you because you place faith in Jesus. I declare you a right relationship with me. You've been declared righteous. And that's good news for us, believers. Amen? That none of us deserve that declaration. That's what Paul calls justification. At that moment, we have been justified. It does not mean as though you've never sinned. It means God declares you righteous even though you have sinned. You have a right relationship with God. Now, secondly, it is our practical righteousness. Practical righteousness means this. We live a righteous life through the power of the Holy Spirit. Look back at Ephesians chapter 5 and notice what Paul has encouraged us to do leading up to this particular point. Look at chapter 5 and verse 18. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with what? Filled with the Spirit of God. We are continually to be filled with the Spirit of God, that we know none of us can live righteous for God absent of the power of the Spirit of God enabling us. We cannot do it without the Spirit of God. Look at chapter 2. And verse 10, when Paul has talked about being saved by grace, notice what he says in verse 10. He tells us we are his workmanship. And that is a beautiful word in the Greek. That literally is the word poem, meaning that God has made you his masterpiece. You are his poem that he has filtered, he's made, he's worked. He says we are his workmanship, his poem, created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works. So he tells us it's through Christ that he has made us to do good work. So that's our righteous living. Now, that's the answer for you, and I want to break it down so you can really understand. Go back to the answer that you've written down, and it's this. The breastplate of righteousness is your right relationship with God, your righteous living before God. Now, I know you're going to be asking the question, how are we going to use that? I'm going to get to that point, but I want you to understand how we get this answer. Let's talk about the breastplate. We see what Paul tells us here. Look back at chapter 6 and verse 14. And let's break this phrase down. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. From a study standpoint, when you're studying the Word of God and you want to understand what a word means, one of the first things that you want to do is look at who the author is of that book. And then you want to look at how that author uses that word in the book he's writing. And then secondly, if he's using that word in other books that he's writing. For example, this is Paul writing the book of Ephesians. So we look in Ephesians and see if he's used the word breastplate any other place in Ephesians, and he doesn't. So we look outside of that to look at all of his other letters. And Paul has written 13 of our New Testament letters, of our books that we have. And so we look in that and notice this. This word breastplate is only used 2 times in the New Testament. 2. Only used by Paul. Here in Ephesians and elsewhere in 1 Thessalonians. But I want you to think about this and understand what it means. Let's think of it from an analogy standpoint. Paul's using this analogy, so let's think about what he's talking about. The breastplate, literally here, when the soldiers put that on, it's made of metal and chains. It was to cover the soldier from his neck to his waist. Now, I have heard this explained incorrectly growing up my whole life, where I've heard pastors say, this literally only covers the front portion of the body, and it's not for retreating. Well, that's not exactly true. It covers the entire portion of the neck to the waist. Now, this does not mean that you have an out to be able to retreat in battle, because reality is, in battle, people could ambush you and they could attack you from the back or from the front. What Paul is saying here from an analogy standpoint, if we think of it that way, this breastplate, you understand what it means in righteousness as we go through this. It literally means this righteousness is covering you completely. It's not a partial covering for spiritual battle. It is a literal covering for you. You understand that? From an analogy standpoint. Now, secondly, let's talk about from a biblical standpoint. Breastplate. The other passage that Paul uses is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. Look at the screen as I read this to you. Paul says, but since we belong to the day, meaning it's another way that he's saying we belong to Christ, let us be sober, or sober-minded, having our minds fixed on Jesus, having put on the breastplate, there it is, of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Does Paul use the word righteousness there and there anywhere? No, he doesn't. So when we look at this passage, how is he using the word breastplate here? He's equating other spiritual elements with this term breastplate. So then we conclude by that to say, Paul is using this breastplate to talk about spiritual elements being completely covered for us in our lives. Let's just take, for example, do you think that when you have faith, when God gives you faith, to be saved, but it's just a partial faith? No, it's a full faith. Do you think when God saves you and gives you love, it's partial love? No, He gives you full love. Do you think the helmet of salvation, that God has saved you only partially? It's a completion. And that's what Paul is using it as. That the breastplate is a way by which he describes for us that you are fully complete. And the spiritual aspect, what God does, gives it to you in fullness. You take that back to Ephesians 6, verse 14, and he says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. It does not mean, taking the answer, that you can only have partial righteous living. It does not mean that God has only declared you partially righteous. It means that you are fully clothed and made righteous before God. And that when you think about the practical aspect, that you're surrounding yourself, breastplate of righteousness, with full righteous living. You cannot, listen to me, you cannot have one without the other. If you say that you have a right standing with God and no practical righteousness, then all you're saying is you just simply think that you're saved. If you say you have practical righteousness and no right standing with God, then all you have is work salvation. You're trying to make your way right with God. You follow me? So we look at this aspect of breastplate. What Paul is saying to us is that we're completely, fully given righteousness by God. It is not a partial aspect in your life. It is not understanding what God has done for you. Now, a second passage that Paul uses. He doesn't use the word breastplate, but he does use the word righteousness in another passage to speak about warfare. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 through 7. I want you to turn there with me. Keep your finger in Ephesians. And let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 through 7. Paul's ministry had been questioned here by the Corinthian church because he had said he was going to go there, and then God had prepared another path for him to take, and because he didn't get to fulfill that, the Christians in Corinth were upset at him. And so he's writing this letter to answer some of their questions, but also to explain to them what his ministry has been about and what he has come against. So look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and verse 7 is what we're going to get to, but I want you to hear what he's saying up to that point, because the way that he speaks of righteousness connects to what we're talking about in Ephesians with weaponry and righteousness and warfare. Look at verse 1 of chapter 6, 2 Corinthians. Working together with him, then we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our ministry. Paul is saying, I've not done anything to harm you to come to Christ. We have laid ourselves bare. We've given you the gospel. Then verse 4. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way by great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger. Sounds like a good ministry, doesn't it? I mean, he's gone through a lot of different things. And he's saying, listen, I have no bad motives in coming to you. I've come, and here's all that I've come through. And then verse 6, by purity, by knowledge, by patience, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by genuine love. And notice what he says in verse 7, by truthful speech and the power of God with the weapons of, what is it? Righteousness for the right hand and for the left. Paul is saying, as he writes to the Corinthians, he says that righteousness was weapons for him. As he went against all those things, he understood that Satan was going to be coming against him and that righteousness was weaponry for him. So you take those truths from 1 Thessalonians 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and now Ephesians 6, verse 14, and we can say that when Paul is talking about this breastplate of righteousness, it is weaponry, it's warfare, but it's to be given to us in completion. You are fully clothed with righteousness when God justifies you. You are not partially righteous. So you stand righteous before God, completely before Him. Now, let's think about what he talks about in righteous. How does Paul use the word righteous? Same principle, same practice. We look at how Paul uses it. And we talk about the positional as well as in the practical. Now, when we talk about righteousness, Paul has used this three ways in the New Testament. Now, he's used it 54 times, the word righteousness, but there's three primary ways that Paul refers to righteousness. First of all, when he talks about righteousness, he speaks of God's righteous acts or God's righteous deeds towards us through Christ, meaning that his holy standard of what he's done through Jesus. The second way by which he uses righteousness is what we're looking at today. The first way he uses righteousness is when God has declared us righteous. And the third way that he uses it is when he speaks about our righteous behavior before God. Now, obviously, we're talking about the breastplate of righteousness. He's not necessarily talking about what God has done to us through Jesus, although we've been declared righteous, but we're talking about the second aspect. When Paul says this is what we are, how we stand before God in righteousness. I want you to look at a couple of these. I want you to look, first of all, at Romans chapter 3. Keep your finger in Ephesians. Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 21 through 26. Romans 3, verse 21 through 26. You're going to see how Paul uses this term to speak about our righteousness that comes through faith. It's important that you understand what this fully means before I tell you how to use this. How do we use this? So let's look at what it means. Romans 3, verse 21 through verse 26. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. Now notice verse 22. This is your key phrase. The righteousness of God through what? Through faith in who? Jesus Christ for all who do what? Believe. That's a key text right there. Righteousness comes to you through faith in Christ Jesus. So right there is a key passage which Paul, and I would say this is a key passage for understanding salvation throughout the entire New Testament. Righteousness came through Christ. It's given to you through faith for believing in Jesus. That's your righteousness. It's given to you. Then notice what he continues. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. This is to show God's righteousness. There's the other element I was telling you about when we use the word righteous. It's God's righteous act to us. When He gave His Son Jesus, it was holy, it was true, it was pure, it was God's work towards us, it was God's righteousness. Because in His divine forbearance, He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has had faith in Jesus. Our righteousness, our positional standing with God comes when we have placed faith in Jesus Christ. Listen to a couple other texts. Romans chapter 10, verse 4 says this, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, "He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus." What a great text. He is the source of your life. He is everything for you. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom and our what? Righteousness and sanctification and redemption. God made Him those things for us. We're declared righteous through faith. So it's a very application question to you. Have you been declared righteous? You can't even go on to the next step and understand what righteousness is in the breastplate unless you know without a doubt that God has declared you righteous. Listen, if you can't get past that point, if you didn't answer that question, then today at the invitation time, even right now as I proclaim this truth, I would say stop and express faith and say, God, make me righteous. Declare me right before You. Because listen, you can't stand in battle because you're not even on God's army. You're still part of Satan's kingdom when you've not been declared righteous. Do you understand that? So Paul is saying to us, the breastplate of righteousness, the first key element to understand is that you've been declared righteous. And please notice the connection between the belt of truth. The belt of truth is these truths being declared to you to understand them. And that now that you're declared righteous. So are you declared righteous? That's where you need to start. Well, let's talk about the second aspect. Our practical righteousness. We want to look at how Paul uses this even in his own book of Ephesians. Now look at Ephesians chapter 4. Because Paul actually uses this word righteousness in three occasions in Ephesians. And two other than this one in Ephesians 6. Look at Ephesians 4 and verse 24. Because what I want you to now see is that when we talk about righteousness, is how we live righteously before God in everyday life. Not just when you're gathered together with the body of Christ, but when you leave this place and you go to your family and you go to the workplace and you're in your neighborhood and you're in your community. It's your righteous behavior before God. Notice what he says in Ephesians 4. Actually, back up to verse 22. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life. Let's talk about how you live. And is corrupt through deceitful desires. Does Paul speak about that in any positive way whatsoever? Absolutely not. Your old life, he says, is corrupt. It's no good. He says, put it off and be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in what? True righteousness and holiness. Paul says to us that the new way of living is in contrast to corruptedness. That we are to live in righteousness. So the way he uses righteousness in Ephesians 4, verse 24, is righteous living, the way we live. Look at the second way he uses it in Ephesians 5. Look at verse 7 through verse 9. Therefore, do not associate with them. He's speaking about those who speak words that are contrary to the biblical truth. Therefore, do not associate with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and what? Right and true. This word right is the same word of righteousness that he uses in Ephesians 4 and Ephesians 6. So he says to us, if we're going to walk in the light, we are not to associate by doing things of darkness, but doing things which are good and right and true. So the way Paul uses righteousness in the book of Ephesians is saying that righteousness describes our righteous behavior before God. Well, Paul's not the only one that talks about this. He talks about it in other passages as well. Listen to Romans chapter 6, verse 12 through verse 13. He connects these truths very well. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for what? Unrighteousness. But present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. Do you see how he's described it? That living sinful is unrighteous, and living godly is righteous. So we can clearly conclude from Paul's understanding of righteousness that he's used it in two ways. One is that we're positionally righteous before God. And two, it's the way by which we live. But listen, Paul's not the only one who's talked about this in the New Testament. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9 and 10 is a passage that I go to when someone says that they're in Christ. When I'm witness to them, they say, I'm saved. And I say, let's look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. And let's let the Bible be the examination for you. And notice what John says in this passage. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning, because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice what? Righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. John has a very strong word for us. That he says to us, if we're not practicing righteousness, who are we the child of? The devil. But if we're practicing righteousness because the Spirit of God lives in us, quickens us, convicts us, guides us, teaches us, comforts us, he says that's the evidence of children of God. We are child of God, not a child of the devil. So we understand that when Paul tells us and John tells us, we speak about righteousness. And then we go back to this understanding of breastplate. When we put on a breastplate of righteousness, Paul is saying to us that we're putting on a breastplate of righteousness because we have a right standing with God and a righteous living before God. Francis Folks, who was a New Testament commentator, made this statement about the practical righteousness. He says this: to neglect what we know to be a righteous action is to leave a gaping hole in our armor. In essence, he's saying if all you're holding to is your positional righteousness and you're not living for God, then you have a huge open target for Satan to attack you. It's a both and aspect. Well, listen, if that's the both and, if it's your right relationship with God and your righteous relationship, righteous living before God in daily life, then we come to the last question. Well, how do we use that practically? I mean, it's good to know those aspects. It's good for us to really be challenged to say, are we right standing with God? And are we really living a righteous life? So we ask ourselves the question now, how does Paul help us to understand how to use this practically? I mean, you could take this tomorrow and you go to work, and I want you to be able to say practically, this is what I'm going to do with this. And I want to give you three ways to apply this passage of Scripture. Number one, how do we use this? First of all, it's know that your positional and practical righteousness are powerful in battle. Listen to me, church. One of the ways Satan attacks believers is when they are ignorant to biblical truth. Do you realize that? That if you are ignorant to certain aspects, then he realizes that's where he can even target you. That's why it's important. Remember the belt of what? Truth. It's foundational, even to this righteousness, that if we can surround ourselves, saturate ourselves, permeate our lives with biblical truth. If it's reading the Word of God, like I mentioned to you, putting sticky notes in the refrigerator, sticky notes in the mirror when you wake up and you look ugly and you're trying to get ready in the morning, remind yourself of the biblical truth. Nobody's ugly in this room, right? No. Okay, we're all liars. We all, I'm just kidding. You all look beautiful. But the truth is this. We need to remind ourselves on a daily basis of spiritual truth. The spiritual truth that you need to know is this, that your positional and practical righteousness are powerful in battle. How do we know that? Well, listen to what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 4. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, and listen to this promise, but have divine power to destroy what? Strongholds. Satan's strongholds. So I want you to realize this morning is that knowing that who you are in Christ and knowing that your righteous living before God is strong to defeat the enemy. It's you understanding who you are in Jesus Christ. What about positional righteousness? Secondly, I want you to understand it is this, to claim your identity in Christ. Claim it. Has anybody in here ever had Satan to question you or challenge you and make you doubt who you are in Jesus? When you've blown it at work, because none of us in this room are perfect, but when you've blown it at work, you've lost your temper, you've said things you shouldn't have said, what's one of Satan's tactics? To come against you and to make you question who you are in Jesus. Oh, you say you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Oh, you say that you're walking with Christ. Now listen, this is not an excuse to be able to go live sinful. But there are times that we realize that we've sinned. And that's why John claims to us, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. We got to claim who you are in Christ. Listen to the text in John chapter 10, verse 27 through verse 29. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one, no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Positional, church, understanding in armor. When Satan questions you, challenges you, make you doubt, you can say, no, Christ, I belong to Him. His hand is stronger. You claim biblical truths. 1 John 4:4, when John says, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. You claim the whole truths of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 6, that says we were dead in our transgressions. When Satan reminds you of your past and he's trying to question you about your salvation and you know for certain that you are, you speak the truths of Ephesians 2, verse 1. Look at Ephesians 2. Just turn there. And look at verse 1 and 2 through 6. Let me teach you how to claim this truth. You read this text and you say, and you read it, and you speak this truth to Satan. And you say, you know what? I was dead in my trespasses and sins. I used to belong to you, the prince of the air. I used to walk as a disobedient child. But verse 4 happened to me, Satan. But God, rich in mercy, because of His great love, verse 5, made me alive together with Christ. That's claiming your positional identity and righteousness in Jesus Christ. You claim that because, listen to me, He cannot fight against biblical truth. You claim your identity in Him. Well, then thirdly, what do? You pursue righteousness, which is practical. You know who you are, you claim your identity, and you pursue righteousness. You pursue that practically. The breastplate of righteousness is what you are doing now. Because listen to me, if you're not living for Christ, if you are not pursuing a righteous living, pursuing the things that God has created for you to do, as Ephesians 2:10 tells us what we are to do, then that leaves room for Satan to be able to attack you. Because listen to me, you just take 1 week off of reading the Word of God, 1 week off of spending time in prayer, and you will realize that those battles come much stronger. Amen? But when you're pursuing it, they still come, but yet you're gearing yourself up for battle. You're helping yourself be prepared for the battle. So pursue righteous living of what you do. Because listen, if you're not doing that, you're more prone to fall prey to Satan's temptations and his sins. And then that's prey where an option, opportunity for Satan then to come and throw his dart and then question you about your position in Jesus Christ. They go hand in hand. James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8 says this, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God. He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Do you notice what James says there? Notice the first part of what he says, submit yourselves to God. Pursuing the righteous living. You're drawing near to God. This is not works-based salvation. This is because you've been changed by Christ and you're pursuing Him because you love Him. You want to know Him. And as you pursue those things, you become stronger and fit for the battle that's raging around us. Warren Wiersbe made this statement about both positional righteousness and practical righteousness. And I quote, "When Satan accuses the Christian, it is the righteousness of Christ that assures the believer of his salvation. But our positional righteousness in Christ, without practical righteousness in the daily life, only gives Satan opportunity to attack." Our conclusion is very simple this morning, church. The breastplate of righteousness is you knowing that you have a right relationship with God and that you're living righteously before God in your daily life. So the question is simply this, as we come to a close. Are you positionally right with God? I think one of Satan's greatest tactics, listen, for non-believers, listen to me, for non-believers, is actually to make them think that they are saved when they're not saved. You got that? A lot of times we talk about him throwing tactics to believers to make them question their salvation. But listen, greater so, why would Satan want you to doubt it? But when you're lost, he wants you to think that you are saved because he knows he's already got you. So he wants to keep you from understanding that you're lost and sinful and need to be declared righteous. Amen. And so this morning, even if we know those, even as we sung this morning, "O Church, Arise," we want to be able to carry the Word of God and rescue those who are captive as well. That you know that you've been declared righteous, and we long for others to be declared righteous as well. So in our commitment time this morning, I want you to question yourself and know for certain, are you declared righteous? And secondly, do you know those who are held captive by the enemy who desperately need us to pray for them, intercede on their behalf, and take the Word of God to them and claim the belt of truth to them so that they too can be declared righteous? And then thirdly this morning, are you, believer, living righteously? Is your walk matching what you say on Sunday? Is your walk matching what you tell people in your Bible study classes on Sunday morning? Listen, this is so much more so the reason why we need small groups and we need the body of Christ. Because when we leave here, there's strength for us to be together. As Hebrews 10 tells us, that we come together to encourage each other and to build each other up as we wait for Jesus Christ to come. We need each other to encourage one another. And so I say this to you. If you are not plugged in to a small group, today is a day you can make a commitment and say, I need to be in one of those small groups to be encouraged and to be challenged. Where are you? Are you wearing the breastplate? Are you living in the truths of what God has given to you? That you know tomorrow when Satan throws his darts, you can claim your identity in Christ. You can pursue righteous living, studying the Word, praying the Word, and living out the truths of God's Word. You need both aspects, not just one. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the truth of your Word. Lord, you've told us to be strong in you and put on the whole armor. Father, we want to be good stewards to understand what the armor is. Father, we thank you that because of the Spirit of God who lives in us, as John 16 tells us, that He's the Spirit of truth. And He proclaims truth to us and teaches us. And even today, you, Holy Spirit, have taught us what it means to put on the breastplate of righteousness. That we're putting on an understanding that we've been declared righteous in Jesus Christ. And that we're putting on a reality that we know we're living righteously because by implication, when we don't live righteously, we're leaving a gaping hole for Satan to attack us. And so, Father, I pray for my church family this morning. I pray for the sheep that you've entrusted to me. I pray today that if there are those in this room whom Satan has convinced is saved, but in reality they're not, I pray today, Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would show them that they need to be declared righteous. And Father, I pray for believers in this room where the battle is still raging and they feel weak. I pray today that you would empower them and strengthen them, and they would take hold of these biblical truths and claim who they are in Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray that if there are those in this room who are not living the righteous life that you've called us to do, then today may they repent of their sinful disobedience and walk in you. And Jesus, I pray in this commitment time, if people's hearts are heavy with other things this morning than what your text has addressed. And Jesus, I pray that you would bring comfort and peace, and that people will find a solution in your Son, Jesus. We pray this in Christ's name.
Thank you for listening to this message by Byron Brown, Senior Pastor at First Baptist Church in Lacombe, Louisiana. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for these copies without permission. We invite you to visit our church website at www.fbclacombe.org. That's FBCLACOMBE.org. You can find information about our church there, or you can call our church office at 985-882-5682. Thank you for listening.